Tuesday morning in Melbourne, the sporting capital of the world. This is your town. This is your station. This is Waitley. Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. The Doncaster BMW annual demonstrator event is on now.
Good morning. The Australian cricket caravan is bound for Adelaide. It is something of a pilgrimage and has been during a test summer for so many for a lot of years. It's hard to pick exactly what the mood is. There's some trepidation. There's definite uncertainty, but there's also excitement for the ritual that lies ahead. Tomorrow morning at this time, we'll be at the Adelaide Oval with Justin Langer. On Thursday morning, we'll be counting down to the first ball of Australia versus India here on SEN. And today, before he flies to Adelaide, the chief executive of Cricket Australia is in the studio. Kevin Roberts, welcome to 1116 SEN.
Good to be here. Thanks, Jared.
We all have our theories. We all have our, I don't know, maybe sense of trepidation. What's yours heading towards this first test a couple of days out?
I always look forward to the first test, like any cricket tragic. So I'm just excited to get over to Adelaide and support the team. And I've just got a feeling that things might go okay for the boys over there.
What are you... How have you sort of set yourself up for, so there's the on-field, the off-field, is there a lot rolled into this first test?
I think there is. There's a lot rolled into cricket right now, Jared, isn't there, with everything going on? So I won't pretend that there's not a whole lot happening. There is, and so we've got heavy workloads on our plate at the moment, on-field and off-field, and I think this is a really nice punctuation mark to remind us as to what we're here for and what cricket's about. You know, first test against India, one of the greatest venues in world cricket, Adelaide Oval. So I'm just really excited to get over there.
What are you hoping for?
I'm hoping to see our team compete really fiercely and to compete with pride, which I'm sure they will under Tim's leadership and the way the team is growing, also under Justin's guidance. It's going to be a real challenge, isn't it? I mean, India, number one test nation in the world. It's not going to be easy, but we've got the home turf, and so really looking forward to the players standing up and really, I guess, taking ownership of that home turf and having a crack.
So there's been a lot of debate about how Australia should play, and you say compete fiercely. So put a bit of definition around that. How are you hoping the Australian team plays?
Yeah, look, it's been a challenging time of late, hasn't it, for the team to find that balance post events of earlier this year. And I think they're starting to find their rhythm. And you know, we've got a great fast bowling attack. We've got emerging batters picked for this test and a hungry team that's really after success. So I think the team is doing really well to find that right balance, to compete fiercely, but to respect the game, respect their baggy green cap, respect their opposition. And there's no question that things had to pull back somewhat after recent events, but I think the team's starting to find their space there.
Have you had conversations with Justin Langer or Tim Payne about this?
I have, yeah, absolutely. And I'm really comfortable. I mean, Justin was a great competitor on the field, but competed in the spirit of the game, obviously. And similarly, Tim, you know, he doesn't take a backward step. But he's got enormous respect for the baggy green cap that he wears and for the game of cricket and his nation. And so I think they're really starting to find that space to really compete without apologising, but make sure that they're doing it with respect.
So is it a chance to redefine the Australian way of playing?
Yeah, look, Justin and Tim and other leaders of the men's and women's teams have developed their player pact, which is, put really simply, make Australians proud. And let's think about what does make Australians proud, the way that our sporting teams compete. It's when they identify what are those key moments of truth in the match and did they stand up. I always love seeing who stands up in those moments of truth in any sporting contest. And so to make Australians proud is not just about the end result on the scoreboard. It's obviously how you go about it. Did you do yourself justice? Did you execute the skills that you've developed? Did you look after your mates out on the field? So I think to make Australians proud sums it up really well. It's not just about what the scoreboard says at the end of the day, but it's about how you went about it with your mates.
Do you think it's a significant challenge for Justin and for Tim with so much debate around it? And I suspect there's the push and pull between what the old world is and what the new world is going to be.
Yeah, it's a good question, Jared. I think it's probably been a challenge before they got onto the field. Because we know what it's like. There's a lot of passion around the game and we love that. It's the beauty of the game. But what we love even more than that is when the players get on the field and we can all back them and all be a part of that contest supporting them. So I think the cricket will start doing the talking once the players get on the field in Adelaide, and that's going to be really helpful rather than overanalyzing it, overthinking it. Let's get the players out there, get them competing, and that will flow.
There was a piece of research last week which measured the emotional connection of sports fans to their teams, and the test team, not surprisingly, was at the bottom of that list. Is that the backdrop that you have to rebuild from?
To some degree it is. I mean, you can make the numbers talk any particular direction, can't you? But the reality is that we need to help the players get increasingly closer to the fans, and we need to help the fans get closer to the players in the other direction as well. And I think, to me, I'm using the word empathy a lot at the moment, Jared. So for players, they're really empathising with fans now. And you see the Australian men's team signing autographs on the field after the match, having the cameras in the dressing room, first time ever, after the match, really embracing the fans and really empathising with what fans are after. And I think for the players, the more they do that, the more the fans will see them as real people, which they are. And this is a fine group of young Australians who are going to take the field and wear the baggy green cap in a couple of days' time in Adelaide. And the more that fans experience the real people, the more they'll be rooting for the team, win, lose or draw, because they'll respect and like the players more than they do now as people. So I think there's a real opportunity there.
Do you have any way of measuring whether that fan base is ready to reconnect with the team?
Oh, look, we measure fan passion, absolutely. And that's something that we do year in, year out. And in terms of their readiness, no, that's not something that we, you know, we get into granular detail on, but we absolutely have the sense that fan passion towards the Australian men's team wasn't going in the direction that we hoped, let's be honest, until recently. But the team's done some great things getting closer to the community and engaging with fans recently, and that's going to take time. But what I would say is that everything the players are doing right now is right, and that's going to lead to results on that other scoreboard, if you like, of fan passion as well as the scoreboard on the field.
So what's the role of winning as we enter this summer or this test summer?
Yeah, what a good question. I mean, the team will be out there to win, right? But as we know, it's certainly not about winning at all costs. It's how you go about it. And when I first spoke with the men's team a few weeks ago in Abu Dhabi, I said our expectation is that you compete fiercely and with respect. And when you win with honour. And that's what we're after. We don't want any cheap wins. We don't want any poor sportsmanship. We want to do Australians proud. We want the players to do Australians proud. So it's winning with honour and really with respect for the game. The game's bigger than all of us. It's bigger than all of the players. And the players are acutely aware of that now. I've seen the likes of Josh Hazlewood in his new leadership role as vice-captain talk with real passion and real sincerity about that honour of playing and competing. And, yeah, we're all about winning, but it's about winning the right way.
What connection are you trying to build with the current day player as chief executive, and that the men's team traditionally has been the shop window for the organisation?
Yeah, absolutely, Jared. And I think we're making a lot of effort to ensure the players feel really embraced as a key part of Cricket Australia, not just as part of the Australian men's cricket team, but a part of Cricket Australia. And also bringing our other employees closer to the players as well, the team behind the team, if you like. So we've got the team on the field, then the team behind the team. And I'm in pretty regular contact with our players, both male and female. And that doesn't need to be particularly formal. It can be a text message or a WhatsApp message here and there. We've all got two arms, two legs and a heartbeat. We've just got different business cards and we're all proud Australians. And I think I really appreciate the effort that everyone is making, our off-field employees, our players, male and female, to engage with the rest of our employees, and I'm certainly making an effort to do that as well, and was privileged to be with the women when they won in Antigua last week.
We'll go through that shortly and what that meant, the decisions that have been made that led to it, and what comes next. From the early experience we have, this is going to be a heavily influenced Indian summer. Is there some chance that your crowds are going to be more parochial to the tourists than the hosts?
Oh, look, you never know, do you? But it's just great to see the passion and the emotion and the colour, you know, of Indian crowds. They just bring so much to the game. And I think that it's fantastic for cricket. It takes my mind back in another sport to the British Lions tour of 2001 in the rugby and playing up at the Gabba. And it was a sea of red British Lions fans. And what that actually did was encourage Australians to say, well, we can't have this. We've got to get out there and make it a sea of gold. So that's a number of years ago, I know, but it's a similar sort of theme. And look, frankly, if that happened in cricket, wouldn't worry me at all. If we're almost shocked into showing more passion as Aussies because of the way that the Indians show so much passion, then A, it's good for cricket, and B, it's great for the Australian team.
There's a piece today from the international head of the Players Association which suggests, well, in his opinion, that cricketers, cricket associations around the world are cooling on the ideas of day-night test cricket. Where are you on what the pink ball tests offer?
Yeah, so frankly, I'm not sure that's the right question, Jared, as to whether cricket associations, cricketing nations around the world are cooling on the idea. The question that we've got to ask is of fans. This is about the fans, and we've seen fans vote with their feet in terms of day-night tests. We're really looking forward to the day-night test at the Gabba later in the season against Sri Lanka. Unfortunate that this test in Adelaide is not a day-night test. If it was, I'd be very confident that it would be an absolute sellout. We will still achieve a very good crowd, but perhaps not a sellout crowd as we would have if it was a day-night test. So we've got to make sure that we're asking the right questions of the right groups. Doesn't matter what I think or any other cricket administrator thinks. It matters what the fans think. And we've seen what the fans think voting with their feet. We just got to keep working through this. And we understand that various cricket nations and some players who haven't experienced much day-night test cricket might have a bit of a fear of the unknown. But the more we can help them walk through that step by step and experience it one step at a time, the more that will help. And we have been playing one-day cricket under lights for 40-odd years, haven't we? So it's not a concept that's completely foreign to players getting out there and playing day-night test cricket. Sure, it's more demanding doing it, you know, 5 days and nights in a row. I won't pretend that's not the case, but we've got to put the fans at the centre of this and the future of Test cricket at the centre of this rather than what I think or what any other cricket administrator thinks.
So Cricket Australia has been the key international driver of this. It is your predecessor. It was one of the great achievements that he made. Are you every bit as committed in the role to day-night Test cricket?
Yes.
Unequivocal. And gold coins on day five, which is probably one of the most sensible moves that has been made, is every time we get to a day five, it feels a bit that way. So why have you bitten the bullet and decided that that will just be the policy?
Yeah, I guess why not, Jared? You know, we want to put the fans at the centre of everything we do. And it's a really good opportunity to make sure that when matches go into day five, that fans have really easy opportunities to be there, to connect with players. We see some amazing moments on day five of test matches, don't we? I mean, I go back to when we were kids in the early 80s, that Ashes series when Border and Tomo were battling away in a last wicket stand, 10,000 people turned up to the MCG on the fifth morning when we were 9 wickets down. Now, I know that's a long time ago, but that passion for the game remains. And I think the easier we can make it for fans to get there on day five, the better. We know that the average test match goes for just a shade over 4 days, so they tend not to go the five full days on average. And look, if there are tests that go the full 5 days this season, what a great opportunity for the fans to lob a gold coin in and experience day five when they're likely to see an exciting result if the test match lasts that long.
Are you a traditionalist? Are you a 5 day test man, or can you see the wisdom in exploring 4 day tests in future?
I think there is merit in exploring it. I mean, there's been 3 day tests, there's been timeless tests, and I think it's easy to fall into the trap of thinking test cricket is a 5 day thing, when the reality is it's had various forms over many, many decades. And given that the average match does go for just that shade over 4 days, I think, then I think it's absolutely worth exploring. And again, putting the fans at the centre of the discussion, ensuring that whatever we do is manageable for players who are putting on the contest and who are the entertainers, And if we can reach the right answers with those groups, then why wouldn't it be something that we would consider really seriously?
One broader one from an organisational point of view, that the Pat Howard replacement, are you reassessing what that role is, or are you looking for a straight replacement?
Look, a little bit of both. I don't see the role changing enormously, Jared, but Pat's departure gives us an opportunity to reassess the shape of it, the scope of it. It's likely that we will tweak it, but we'll be doing that in consultation with the states and territories, and we're just starting to think about how we work through that process. So I don't see necessarily a significant change in the scope of the role, but in saying that, we've got to work through it and determine our future direction. And I think the person who comes into the role will have a great opportunity to shape that future direction, and particularly in terms of that balance between how we work or how domestic competition works in with international competition, and the selections, the ins and outs in between those two aspects of the game will be really critical. And where are our players developed? So to what extent are they developed through, state programs versus national programs? There'll be some really interesting conversations of that nature for us to consider. But in terms of the overall scope, it's more about how the person works with the states and territories on those elements rather than their individual role being completely different, I suspect.
And where does it sit with the national coach? Will that position remain above the national coach, or could potentially that be come in below the national coach?
It's something that I haven't thought of in any detail yet, Jared. We'll work through the process and hopefully ask ourselves the right questions and ask the right people the right questions as to the direction we need to be taking. And again, that balance between the domestic competitions and international competition. But no, it's not something I've got into in detail just yet.
How big a priority is that, is to nail that down?
Yeah, it's a significant priority. We've got a little bit of time. We're actually in the market for a number of roles at the moment. Yep. My executive assistant, chief operating officer, and head of broadcasting and commercials. So there's some greater urgency about a couple of other roles, but there's no role that's more important than the head of team performance. So it's just that we can give ourselves a couple of weeks of breathing space now, work on these other roles, and then get into the critically important one of head of team performance.
Kevin Roberts is the chief executive of Cricket Australia in the studio on 11:16 SEN. We'll talk about the women's triumph after the break.
On 11:16 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport, you're listening to Wakely. Want to have your say? Ring Jared on 9429 1116. Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. The Doncaster BMW annual demonstrator event is on now. Now back to Wakely.
It was just the boost Australian cricket needed when the women claimed the World T20 over in the Caribbean in what was a brilliant campaign and a superbly executed final. The chief executive of Cricket Australia, Kevin Roberts, was there. He's here now. Kevin, what was it like to be there for that victory?
Oh, it was a real privilege, Jared, to see the women do themselves proud and do their nation proud. And what struck me was the fact that the semi-final and the final were the matches that I was there for. We had literally pretty much every player in the team making an important contribution to that semi-final victory and the final victory, both in terms of what they were doing on the field, but also how they were setting the mood and preparing off the field. So that's what really struck me, the way that the entire team contributed.
Was it the boost Australian cricket needed?
I think so, yeah, absolutely. It was a great news story, I personally was grateful to the team in that if they got knocked out in the semi-final, then I had something like 45 hours travelling each way to be in Antigua for 24. So selfishly, it was a boost that I needed. But in all seriousness, it was a great boost for Australian cricket at the right time. And just fantastic to see how the players went about it. Meg's leadership, the team talks about being fearless. Elisa Healy at the top of the order winning player of the tournament and richly deserving that. She was fearless with the bat, wasn't she? And then contributions from other players all the way through. Elise Perry took a critical, 2 for 2 in the semi-final. And then we had in the final, Ash Gardner taking out the player of the match award. But the moment for me, Jared, was when we had a 19-year-old Australian change the course of the match. Georgia Wareham fielding it wide mid-on. and, you know, England going along pretty well at that point in time, and super cool, 19 years of age, Georgia Wareham comes in, direct hit run out, and then takes 2 for 6 bowling leg spin in her first 2 overs and literally changed the course of the match. It was awesome to watch.
How much owes, do you think, to the strategic choices that were made at Cricket Australia around investing probably ahead of time in women's sport?
Yeah, look, there's been people working hard at this for, you know, 80, 90 years. And so current day players, administrators will get some credit for what's going on at the moment. But I think it's really important that we remember those who've gone before us in you know, decades gone by. You know, but even as recently as the 90s, you know, legends of the game like Belinda Clark, who's obviously such a valued member of the Cricket Australia team now, but also directors, a former chairman of Cricket Australia, Wally Edwards, Tony Harrison, a former director, was an absolute champion of the women's game before the opportunities for women's sport were as evident and as public as they are right now. It's fantastic to see the opportunities for women's sport right now, but it wasn't always that easy. And so it's great that we've had people like Wally and Tony, Belinda and many, many others working on it for so many years.
What does it mean for the future? Is for what's been invested, you've got a very tangible dividend. You've got it on the world stage. You've got it domestically with the staging of doubleheaders right across the weekend. What does it tell you that the possibilities are around women's cricket?
Yeah, almost boundless. I mean, I'm so looking forward to International Women's Day 2020 on the 8th of March. It's, of course, the final of the T20 World Cup, and we're going to get 90,000 people to the MCG, so I hope all of your listeners come along and join us there. But now little girls and boys can dream more than they could, and Australian men's teams have always provided inspiration to kids of Australia. Now we've got women's teams doing the same for girls and for boys. And I look at my 5 daughters at home and the way that they look up to the stars of the Australian women's cricket team and are genuinely passionate about them because those players now have a profile and they're known for the way they go about it, not just what they do. So I think it's, in summary, it allows boys and girls of Australia to dream about what's possible.
You'll live this firsthand, as you and I both have daughters who will mind dabbling cricket. Yours play cricket to a slightly better level, I suspect. How have you seen it change, and does it give you a nice perspective on what else is required?
Oh, it does. There's still so far to go. You know, it's a... The growth trajectory of girls cricket is fantastic, Jared, as you know. So that trajectory is something that we're really appreciative of. It's a real reminder, though, that we've got a long way to go. It's not necessarily easy yet to find somewhere for a 10 or 12 or 14-year-old girl to play. You know, talking of our daughters, they've all played at the same netball club and the same basketball club since they were very young. But to find the right place for them in cricket hasn't been so easy. It's getting easier every year. And it's a really good reminder to me, close to home, the importance of that continuity so that you're really part of a cricket club or you're part of your school cricket teams rather than just being part of an isolated team that plays somewhere in a competition. So that's really among the next steps for us to make sure that there's a consistent journey that the girls can go on, like boys have been able to do for decades, that they can join their local, let's say, under-10s team, and there's a path for them through to under-16s and so on.
Would you like to see women's T20 at the Commonwealth Games?
Oh, who wouldn't? Absolutely. I think it'd be fantastic for cricket. I think it'd be great for the Commonwealth Games, too, to have something new and fresh there. And just a great opportunity, as I alluded to before, for both girls and boys to dream, you know, when they see what their role models are doing out on the field, I think it'd be great.
Did you like the start of the WBBL?
I did, yeah. I went along there on Saturday. Perfect day for it on Saturday. Not so perfect on Sunday, but hey, that's Melbourne.
Yes.
Either way, fantastic spectacle and many families down there. It was just great to see people rallying around cricket and many people watching the matches on TV at home.
Kevin, thanks for coming in. We're going to do this on day 2 of test matches throughout the summer, so we appreciate that opportunity, and yeah, our journey begins.
See you on day 2, Jared.